Johnny Lee Hooker.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down at all your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love to see you walk up and down the floor. Talking to me, that baby talk. I like it like that. When you talk like that, you knock me dead. Then on my feet, how, 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 how. Walk that walk and talk that talk and whisper in my ear. Tell me she love me. I love that talk, that baby talk. She knocks me dead right off my feet. How, 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 how.
WTFradio.me, underground and over the top radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Overturf from WTFradio.me. I'm sitting here today with Sarah Brown, Rick Moore, and Ron Rice from Daytona, Florida. How you doing, Ron?
Hello there. Everybody's good here.
Great. Also, you have a friend with you there also. Who's that?
That's right. We got Mylon Goodmanson from Stockholm, Sweden, who's here taking a tour with me. We've been out on the west coast of the United States and up to Oregon to see my darling daughter, Sterling, and we are back now in Daytona Beach.
Oh, that sounds very inviting and fun. Well, Ron, my question is to start off with is when and how did you get involved with Hawaiian Tropics? Were you the guy that actually made the recipe and started everything from A to Z? Could you tell everybody a little bit about that story?
Yeah, sure. I was, after coming out of the mountains in North Carolina, I moved to Daytona Beach and eventually started coaching football, teaching school, chemistry and physics, and working as a summertime lifeguard. And I wasn't making very much money. I was only making $4,300 a year, and that was $300 of that was the coaching part. And enjoyed that, loved it and all that, but you're eating Campbell's vegetable beef soup and beans.
Well, that is.
So I thought there's got to be something better.
There does. Hmm. What was it, somebody else's idea, or how did you create that?
No, it was my idea. I was looking around when I was sitting on the lifeguard tower and looking around, seeing what I could do with my life. I had no idea what I was going to end up doing, and I saw, among other things on the beach, I saw suntan lotion, which wasn't very good at that time. It was just all there was really was Coppertone and C&Ski, which C&Ski doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. And Coppertone, the smell was horrible. So I dreamed up a suntan product with a really good smell and very, very nice packaging and presentation. It's just that I had to get it out in the marketplace. That was all. And nobody knew what Hawaiian Tropic was back then. It was just two things thrown together, Hawaiian and Tropic. Nobody knew that. It took a lot of years.
And not to say that I'm any older than 35, but I was a lifeguard, and I was down at Brownsville, South Padre Island, and I remember the innovation of Hawaiian Tropic coming in, and it was like, it was incredible because it smelled good. And I mean, I was a lifeguard on a stand using Hawaiian Tropic when I was 17.
Right. I like that area down there, Galveston, and that's a great area just south of Houston. That's a really great area down there.
Yeah, I was even further south at South Padre Island and Brownsville, right by the border of Mexico.
Okay.
And it was big. It was like this big thing. And so for me, it was really interesting. I had a Playboy centerfold on my wall, and I used Hawaiian Tropic on my lifeguard stand. And then later in life, to become, not only to just go to a Hawaiian Tropic event, but to become friends with you, was really cool, really amazing.
That's good.
And I've always said that, well, you're an amazing businessman. You are. Everything that I got to attend through the Hawaiian Tropic years was fantastic. I was as sad as anyone when you sold it. But then in retrospect, wow, you really knew your timing well.
Well, it worked out well. I'm just a very lucky person, I guess. That's what it is.
You are. Well, we've got Sarah Brown with us right next, right in between Jeff and I here. And she looks fantastic.
Oh, I remember her.
Yeah,
she did well in the pageant.
Yeah, top four the entire United States. And that's all the girls at Hawaiian Tropic in the United States. She was representing Hawaii, and she got top four. And right now, just by my luck, she landed in Dallas, Texas, and she knows how to cut hair really well.
That's good.
Well, Ron, what year was it you actually started? Did your chemistry background, did you actually create the formula yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. I had a very weak chemistry background. It wasn't much. But even with my limited knowledge of chemistry, I still managed to create a product that was better than what was on the market at the time.
So what was the secret? I mean, I'm not asking you to divulge your formula.
Well, no, there's no secret, really. It's just to coming up with something that everybody liked the fragrance of. The fragrance was probably the biggest thing of all.
And it was.
And it worked. Sure did. Yeah, we introduced it first here in Daytona Beach with all the lifeguards, and we went from that. Eventually, we made it across to California, but it took a long time. I remember hearing the Beach Boys music and wondering what California was all about. I'd never been to California. I couldn't afford to go to California. And I thought, boy, one day, maybe I'll get to go to California. little did I know that I'd be traveling all over the world and setting up factories all over the world. It was pretty amazing.
Well, Sarah, what did you think about the product yourself? I know you used it. In Hawaii, it's like, is there always great weather out there?
It's amazing.
And Sarah, you lived there. You represented Hawaii.
I did. I love Hawaii. The weather is perfect all the time, just a little bit of rain. But other than that, everybody's naked.
Well, that'd bring everybody.
What island did you live on?
Oahu.
Okay, I didn't know which island you're on. Yeah, my favorite's the Big Island.
I've only been to the Big Island or Oahu, and they're both really awesome. I like Oahu a lot, though. I loved all my fun times at Turtle Bay.
Oh, yeah.
That was good stuff.
Well, Sarah, did you come from there, or how did you wind up there?
I was actually born in Hawaii, yeah.
Cool. I mean, so you grew up there in grade school and...
Actually, I didn't. I was born there, and my parents separated, so I moved to horrible Oklahoma, where I then proceeded to go to college. And after college, I moved back to Hawaii, and that's how I stumbled into Hawaiian Tropic.
So
good thing you did.
So what was the allure of the product that you liked the most?
For sure the smell, but also too is like so oily, it just makes your body look good.
You mean the sheen and all that stuff?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's something I never considered before. I'm kind of dark-complected, so I didn't really use too many products because I never really burned that much. Ron, tell everybody a little bit more about the process. I mean, you know, a lot of people, when they see somebody successful in business like yourself, they want to attach it to something like overnight. What was the process like? I mean, were you one of these people that actually repped your product out of the back of your car and... How did that take place?
Yeah, pretty much that. I had a very small beginning. In fact, I bought a garbage can, a 20-gallon galvanized garbage can, and a broom for $1, and a garbage can for about $4. And I cut the broom handle off, and that was what I used to stir up the mix. Like a witch's brew, almost. That's
exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. That's great.
I hired two 11-year-old kids to fill the bottles, and then I would take them around to the lifeguards on the beach, and that's how it all got started. The lifeguards picked up on it, and they started selling it, and finally the beach wagons on the beach took it on, and they started selling it, and then eventually it got into the stores, and it just moved up from there.
So was this in Daytona, or where was this specifically?
It was in Daytona, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Daytona has always been a center of a lot of beach activity as far as notoriety around the world, you know, the surf and also, you know, the water is always warm and the environment is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I've been all over the world and I haven't found anywhere I'd rather live more than here.
Well, it is special, that's for sure. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf from WTFradio.me. We'll be right back.
Say yo, Sean Kingston.
Yo, way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You have me suicidal, suicidal. When you say it's over, damn all these dark. Ooh, when you took my heart, that's when we fell apart. Cause we both thought that love lasts forever.
Lasts forever.
They say we're too young to get ourselves wrong. Ooh, we didn't care. We made it very clear. And they also said that we couldn't last together.
Last together.
See, it's very divine. You're one of a kind. You mash up my mind. You are figure decline. Oh Lord, my baby is driving me crazy. You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You have me suicidal, suicidal. When you say it's over, damn all these beautiful girls. They only wanna do your dirt. They'll have you suicidal.
things all the time, ooh. And I went away for doing my first crime. And I never thought that we was gonna see each other.
See each other.
And then I came out, mommy moved me down south, ooh. I ain't with my girl, who I thought was my world. It came out to be that she wasn't the girl for me.
Girl for me.
See, it's very divine, you're one of a kind. But you mash up my mind, you have to get declined. Oh Lord, my baby is driving me crazy. You're way too. And now we're fighting. Please tell me why I'm feeling slighted. And I don't know how to make it better. Make it better. You're dating other guys, you're telling me lies. Oh, I can't believe what I'm seeing with my eyes. I'm losing my mind, and I don't think it's clever.
Think it's clever.
You're way too. Suicidal, when you say it's over. Damn all these beautiful girls, they only wanna do you dirt. They'll have you suicidal, 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 suicidal.
Hi everybody, this is Jeff Overturf. We're back. I'm sitting here with Sarah Bound, Rick Moore, and Ron Rice. Ron, tell everybody about the most genius idea that I've ever heard of to promote a product was with your pageant, with the Hawaiian Tropics pageant.
Yeah, I think that's what you said was the pageant was the... Actually, you know, we were advertising toward men, all pretty much males with sports sponsorship, sports advertising, and I realized we're missing an entire market out there. We've got all these females that are just... wanting the product, and I knew if we got it to them, they'd love it. And so I dreamed up in 1983, or just before 83, that was the first pageant we had, was in the August of 83 here in Daytona Beach. We had a pageant where we brought in like 120 girls from all over the United States, and we had a deal where they would, 30% of them, or actually 40. Well, there was 40 photo entries, and the rest was all girls winning pageants around the country. And I had distributors, Hawaiian Tropic distributors, all over the country. So all the guys had to do was just have a pageant and send us a girl. And the venues where the pageants were held were the ones that paid for the girls to come to Daytona. And so we had very little expense in that sense. It's just that when we went to Hawaii and did our international part of the pageant. After we did the U.S. part in Daytona, we went to Hawaii, and that's when we got into trouble financially because it was costing me about $4 million a year for 3 years in a row to run that pageant, having the top film crews in Los Angeles. And I mean, the people that did the Grammys and the Emmys and all that kind of thing, they were shipping camera equipment over from Los Angeles, and we didn't know any better. We were just little country bumpkin guys here in Daytona, and we knew we had a good thing on our hands. We just didn't know how to finance it, you know. So after 3 years of doing that, I decided that was too much. We couldn't afford that anymore. So we had what we called Rice Resort Weekend, and that was where we did it twice a year, once in August, once in October. And we brought in half the girls at the first setting and then the other half the girls at the second setting. We still had 120 girls, and it was an amazing time. We picked the four U.S. Finalists out of those 120, and then they went on to Hawaii for the finals. But in a few years after that, we didn't go to Hawaii. We just stayed in Daytona and did it all in Daytona. of course, that kind of matched in with spring break and things like that. So it was a hot item.
So when you first started out, was it similar, not accusing it of being this, like a wet T-shirt contest, but the contests themselves were held at bars, and these bars would draw crowds when they would have these contests. Is that correct?
That was all over the country. And the girl that would win from, say, Houston or Portland, Oregon, or wherever, would have a spot, one of those 80 spots were left after the 40 photo entries.
So, in other words, y'all would go through the photos and you would pick them out from the mm-hmm. contestant winners at the different bars and clubs?
No, nothing to do with the bars and clubs. We advertised in magazines like Glamour, Mademoiselle, Vogue, all these different magazines. We put in a little coupon at the bottom and said, if you'd like to enter the Hawaiian Tropic pageant, send in your photo to this address and include this coupon with your name and everything on it. And I had a team of girls, like six girls, that would sit in a circle and go, and I'd be with them, of course, and the pictures would go around and around. We didn't pick 40. We threw out until we got down to 40. So the 40 that remained behind were the ones that made it into the pageant, and then they got their way paid for free to come to the pageant.
Well, I met Rick back in the early 1990s, and I trained a girl by the name of Monica Buck. And
We know Monica. She's from Texas.
Right, and Monica did pretty well. And
yeah, she did real well.
And Rick,
I think she won the whole pageant.
Yeah, I think she did. Rick, did you send in any of those coupons from those magazines, or how many photos did you ever send in any stuff? Photos of girls that went to the, to that process of the calling process of the photographs or anything? Or how did you actually meet Ron?
Playboy sent me to the Hawaiian Tropic finals in Cancun. So it was an official assignment for me where there was an editor in Chicago, and she said, Rick, I want you to start going to these, and I want you to start scouting for, future possibilities for Playmate and models for Playboy. And I said, okay. So I went to Cancun on the first one, and it was such a great time. It was just a gorgeous place, moonlight. It was just a really fun event. And I think it was probably the second one that I met Ron. And in these situations, I really try not invade somebody's privacy or personal space. So I was very cautious I didn't want to all of a sudden seem like I was Ron's best friend. And so it was over a period of time where Playboy liked how everything was going, and they sent me to the national finals in Hawaii. And I think at first some of the there were a lot of really great women, Rayanne Scroggins, all these women from Hawaiian Tropic that helped run the show. And at first I think they were like, oh, a Playboy photographer, this could be trouble. And after they got to know me, I was just so happy to be there. It was such a great event, such a great assignment. They really looked forward to me being there after that. And it was a really, really, it was a highlight of my year each year. And over a period of time, Ron just, I remember, I think we were in Biloxi, and I was checking in, and Ron looked over, and he was with his group of promotional models, and he said, hey, Rick, come join us for breakfast. And I was really, surprised and amazed, and I was so happy to do that because, I don't think Ron at the time knew I had been a lifeguard. I had used Hawaiian Tropic. I was a longtime fan. And so it was really cool. We just kind of became friends over the years after that.
Well, we have a contestant sitting right to the right of me right now. Sarah, tell everybody about how and what got you interested in entering the contest when you did. How did all that take place, and what led up to it?
Let's see. I actually had a girlfriend that lived in Oklahoma. We worked at Hooters together. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I worked there for like 3 years.
Awesome.
And she actually had moved to California, and she was telling me that she had entered the pageant and won, and that she was going to be going to Hawaii to compete in the USA pageant. And that I needed to send in a photo since I was now living in Hawaii, that, they were looking for girls. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. So I just had taken like random pictures with a camera and sent them in. And for whatever reason, she's like, okay, you're in. You're going to be in the pageant. And so I did the Miss Hawaii pageant, and I actually ended up winning. So then I had a spot at the USA pageant, and I was just blown away because I had never done anything so crazy in my life before. Like, I think I went in there in my Roxy swimsuit. I, some of those girls are coming in there with like some bling swimsuits, and I was like in my like little swimsuit you can just buy anywhere at the mall, like the surf shop down the street. And I think that I did so well in the pageant because I was so laid back. And I think that during the pageant, when we would introduce ourselves, you know, I'm Sarah Brown from Honolulu, Hawaii. And, you know, I'm currently a plumber. And I think that stopped everybody in their tracks because I was just like, everybody is saying that they're in real estate, they're, you know, in school to be something. And I was truly working as a plumber with my father at the time in Hawaii. And I think that set me apart from all those. I mean, all of the girls are so beautiful. So, I mean, I had a really great time and I was definitely intimidated at first, but then I relaxed and my true like personality kind of came out in the end. So,
well, that's an amazing story. That brings up a topic about a week or so ago. I had a girl that's a country western singer. She had a picture of her changing her brakes on her truck. And of all the photographs that people were posting, women, you know, with a pouty mouth and the lips and all that kind of stuff to get attention, this photograph just went viral because she was changing her brakes. It goes, yeah, even girls know how to change brakes too. So it's amazing how something that is so remote or different can get so much attention like that. Myself personally, your skin is like, would be, you know, definitely something the Hawaiian tropics would want to represent. Yeah, the best, most amazing skin. And I'm sure you probably wore that product and did it well just because of that also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good product. And normally, I hate to say this on air, but I normally spray tan. But I was actually at the pool this weekend, so this is actually my real tan. So well, thank you for noticing.
Yeah, you got great skin. And you have young skin, too. That must be part of that the Asian background, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Ron, tell everybody a little bit more about... You know, you had how many contests in Hawaii? Is that right?
I don't know how many were actually in Hawaii. I mean, we did the big ones there, but as far as the little ones go, the local contests, I guess there was one every year. But then we went up to Turtle Bay, which is on the north shore of Oahu, a beautiful place up there. And we it was kind of a genius move without even knowing so, because we had the rooms and meals all taken care of by the hotel. We had a TV show that we had to pay for. We televised it nationwide, and of course the hotel loved it because they got all the promotion out of it, and they gave us rooms and meals and just treated us great. Great people up there.
Well, those were
the
days.
The girls all flew in, and they were paid for by the venues where they won their pageants, like in Atlanta. You had a bar, grill place there, or a big bar where they had the pageant, and it was in the contract with the venue that they would pay for the girl to fly to Hawaii, and it all worked out great in every case, you might say. And
we had
the television crews there from California, and they filmed it all, and we put it on. Had a syndicator out of Vail, Colorado, that got us on about 91 or 2% of the whole U.S. market. And it just turned out great. It was, what a great promotion it was.
Yeah, it was. And you keep saying you're lucky, but there's a whole lot more than luck going on that. I was pretty amazed at, and now, you know, since I spent, I guess I did Turtle Bay 7 or 8 years. And now, you know, you see it in so many movies, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I've seen it in 3 or more. It's like, hey, I was in that hot tub. I was in that suite.
Yeah,
that was a great place.
Well, Sarah, tell everybody a little bit about what led up to it. Was your family behind you on this contest, or how did that work out as far as support from your friends and family, or Hooters, or your? How did that work out when you first started?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I actually was at work the day of the Hawaii pageant, the state competition, and I was actually working with my dad. I was like, completely dirty, you know, my jeans and my t-shirt was like, just, you know, if you can imagine if you're a plumber. So I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, I think I'm going to do a pageant tonight. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I think I'm going to leave work early and I think I'm going to try to do the Hawaiian Tropic pageant. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, what are you talking about, Sarah? You cannot do that. I was like, what do you mean I can't do that? He's like, Sarah, those girls have boobs. Because I was like an A cup at the time. And I was like, kind of embarrassed that my father had mentioned that in the first place. I was kind of appalled. I was like, Dad, I'm doing this. I'm leaving early. So I went to the pageant and of course I won. Not that I was, I was hoping to win, but I immediately called him and I said, suck it. Yeah. And then he ended up coming to, cause we lived in Hawaii at the time. So he went to the pageant, the USA pageant. And then again, I won that one. And so he was just like blown away. And, you know, people were coming up to him like, oh, you must be the plumber. That must be your daughter. And he was so happy.
He was proud, Daddy.
He was so proud of me.
But he lost a good plumber, didn't he?
He sure did.
Okay, let's take another little break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Over Turf. I'm sitting here with Sarah Brown, Rick Moore, and Ron Wright. Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf from WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Sarah Brown, Rick Moore, and Ron Rice. Ron, we talked about a couple of places, Atlanta, Daytona, Los Angeles, Hawaii. Tell us a little bit more about the international part of the Hawaiian Tropics contest.
Yeah, well, it took off immediately. You know, I called all my reps. We had Hawaiian Tropic, when I built Hawaiian Tropic, we had reps all over the world, virtually in every country of the world. And I would go to a lot of these pageants. I even took the time to go to them all over, virtually South America, all over Europe, up in the Scandinavian countries, and so on, all over the place. And it was quite interesting to have these girls come from Russia and all these different places, and it was just amazing when we went to the international pageant, went to the international finals. to see the girls from all over the world and all the different languages. We had to have interpreters come in with them, with different countries from all over the world. It was quite amazing.
Well, you know, I can't imagine a football coach with a broomstick and a trash can and two 10-year-old boys dreaming about the kind of contest and the kind of response you got internationally. Did you meet a lot of interesting girls from these other countries?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, one of them sitting here with me right now. You should talk to her for a minute. She's it's Mylan Gudmundsson from Stockholm, Sweden.
Well, get her on the phone.
And, yeah, she was traveling with me for the last couple of weeks out in Los Angeles and up in Oregon, where I was up visiting my daughter. And she's right here. She's going to be going back to Stockholm here on Saturday, and we're having a big boat party for her tomorrow afternoon. So I'm going to put her on the phone
right now.
Her tell you all about her experiences. She's been around with me for a long time. Okay,
right.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Mylan. How did you get involved with – were you an actual contestant also, or what was your connection with the Hawaiian Tropics in the very beginning?
Yeah, I was. It was actually 10 years ago now almost. Yeah, it was 2003, I think. I was 18 at the time. And, yeah, there was a pageant in Sweden, which I entered. And then I won, and then I flew to Hawaii. It was amazing.
Well, how old were you when you did that? Were you a youngster or?
18.
18 years old? That seems like the blooming point for a lot of these girls in the contest. What was the, you know, of course, I'm ignorant about Sweden. And I know that Europe is a lot more progressive or more mature than the United States when it comes to alcohol and drinking and all that stuff. Where, you know, did any of that play into the factor? I mean, like going to a bar?
We have our difference.
Do what? I mean, as far as the bars go and hanging out at the bars and then doing the contest
at
the bars.
Yeah, you can go to the bar when you're 18 in Sweden. I was actually out when I was 16.
Oh, okay. So you started early. Well, that happens here, too.
What?
I said that happens here also, a lot of the girls here.
Really?
So how did you get to meet Ron? What was your introduction to Ron?
I met Ron when I flew to Hawaii to enter the international pageant, and someone introduced me to him, and yeah, that's how we met in Hawaii. He saw me on stage. I was in the position right in front of him of all the 120 girls, and he was watching the rehearsal, and we were dancing, doing a dance scene, and he saw me because I was right in front of him, and he liked me.
So you won Sweden. How'd you do in Hawaii?
I made a top 12.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Better than I would do or Rick would do.
What? I didn't hear you.
Better than myself or Rick would do, that's for sure.
Hey, I've been complimented on my legs recently.
Have you really?
What? Well,
how did you get into that? Did you work your way into that spot? Did you have to elbow a few women out of the way to get close to Ron, or how did that work?
No. No. I don't know how that worked. You'll have to ask him that. He just liked me because I was a good dancer.
Because you were from Sweden.
Yeah, because I was from Sweden and a good dancer.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
That was it. And then I got to go on many, many, many trips all around the world.
Okay, what did you do? Were you okay, as far as promotion goes, what did you do? What were your duties?
We had to wear Hawaiian Tropic outfits, T-shirt and shorts. Like on different events, we went to Cannes Film Festival, and we just walked the street there up and down, and we had... we went to all kinds of events, like celebrity charity events, where we had long black gowns looking very fancy. And we sold calendars to good causes and all kinds of things all around the world.
Well, that sounds awesome. So,
I know. It has been an awesome journey.
So how many years have you been involved with Ron as far as during the days of Hawaiian Tropics, as far as work goes? And now you know him on a personal level now.
Yes, of course. It's been 9 years now.
9 years? That's awesome. Well, that's amazing what you can do just wearing a little suntan lotion nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, let's get Ron back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not all about the suntan lotion. It's all about what he does and what's he involved with. All, like I said, all the celebrity charity events. And so, yeah. We got to see a whole lot.
Well, you know, you know, like Ron said, he was lucky. You know, I've heard that a lot, you know, and I know a lot of other people hear those type of lines. Like when Rick's taking photography, they want to say, oh, it must be the camera. I don't know why people don't want to give credit to the person that's doing all the work, you know, that leads up to that success story. And
yeah.
For everything I've heard, Ron has been the best at that.
Yeah.
Ron has been what?
I said Ron has been really good at that.
Yeah, he has been, really.
Yeah, I've just heard about some of the, you know, the, I would have loved to have been part of the promotion team myself, because you guys went to Cannes, the 24-hour Le Mans.
Yeah, we went to Alaska.
Yeah, and I was sent by Playboy to Calgary for Stampede, and Ron was there as well with a group of the promotion girls. And so outside of Hawaiian Tropic, I ran into him and the group. And it was always awesome, really, really cool.
Yeah, so you got to see it. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was great.
Okay, well, let's get Ron back on the phone here. I got a couple of questions I want to ask him. Thanks a lot, Mylon, for adding a little bit to our show. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back with you.
Okay, Ron, so how many years running did this show actually take place? And from you, I think you said it started in 83. What year was the last show that you did?
The very last one. Well, I sold the company in 07, so I got rid of the company just before the crash came.
Yeah,
and the new company was committed to do two more years of pageants because of contracts and this, that, and the other. So it went for 28 years total.
I bet today you got on your knees and said, thank you, Jesus, because of that ruling on the health care, which is going to affect so many businesses with employees and health care coverage and everything else. Man, you lucked out.
It was amazing. Amazing. Just pure love. I'm very lucky.
Okay, well, let's take another little break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. We're talking Ron Rice. This is Sarah Brown with me and Rick Moore.
Cry 96 tears. Come on, let me hear you cry now. 96 tears. Woo!
Okay, we're back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. Ron, tell everybody a little bit about the great moments in pageant history that may have happened around the world.
Yeah, there's a few things, if I can remember them. I know one thing, right, unique, is girls came to me and they said, we know this pageant is not fixed. And, of course, I had my attorney and my accountant and my head of marketing as the counting the vote. So I didn't even get near it until they sorted it all out. So it mattered to me who won, but whatever the judges decided. We had a lot of judges. We usually had about 30 judges in each pageant and had a lot of very interesting people. Really interesting people like Wolfman Jack and Benny Hill from England, and we had judges from all over the world. There was a lot of
Rick
celebrity
Moore.
Judges God. and just people that I knew.
Lucky
around the
dog.
World. And,
God, but, all you guys are lucky, man.
Oh,
yeah, it was amazing. Benny Hill was one of the most amazing guys, but the girls came to me and they said we know this pageant is not fixed because we know you don't like the winner.
That's funny. Said,
you're right.
That wasn't my year, was it?
No, that wasn't your year. That wasn't your year. I don't remember what year it was, but I thought it was right amusing them to come and say that to me.
That is funny. I remember the artist Kevin Berlin. And
he's in Italy right now.
I would alternate on being a judge or just be representing. I'd just be a scout photographer for Playboy or whatever, but some years I got to be a judge and it was pretty cool, I have to say, to be wearing. It was always a custom made medallion. And the other judges in the area, I judged one year with Tommy Lee, I became friends with Garrett, who had been on Star Trek. We're still friends today from that. And we still keep in touch. We just spoke the other day. And, a lot of great experiences like that. But Kevin was so funny because he had a picture of himself. Remember, that breakfast at Turtle Bay in the morning. He had his judge necklace on, and he was surrounded by beautiful girls. And then the next day, after the pageant was over, he took a picture. He had a picture taken of himself by himself at the table.
Yeah.
And he came up and he showed me the pictures. He goes, "This is the day after the pageant."
Oh yeah, you're worthless on that, but you got one friend and all those enemies.
Right. Oh, you mean because the winner's been chosen and all the girls are
yeah.
Oh, they don't care. They'll be done. But he's done.
Yeah. So the day before, they're all friendly then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Swarming all over.
You feel loved. You know. It was great to have the judge's badge on.
Although, you know what, Rick, I still love you.
You know what, Sarah? I still love you. All these years after the pageant, we're still hanging out.
That's right.
And
we had Clint Eastwood's son, Kyle, as a judge for a number of years. We had Jane Seymour's son. God, I can't think of his name. I got a mind blank on his name right
Me
now.
Me too.
Good kid. But we had a lot of really good judges. Had Doug Schwartz, who was the creator of Baywatch. He was with us year after year.
Matt, the producer from Disney. Director.
Matt Dearborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Dearborn was with us many, many times. Yeah.
Now, how did you select these judges?
What's that again?
I said, how did you select these judges? I mean, I'm sure you got they were clamoring.
They were in Hawaii, and we didn't have to pay their airfares or anything, or if they that we would try to take them on if they were really good friends. I mean, sometimes we'd pay for them to come to Hawaii, but not very often. Usually, they wanted to come do it so much, they enjoyed it so much that they paid their own way.
Well, I know you sold the company and everything else after this negative press that Donald Trump got with, transgender contestant?
Yeah, I think he does that on purpose. So
that's really a publicity thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's great at publicity. Yeah. And, we had Donald Trump was a judge at our pageant for 3 or 4 years before he bought the, with NBC. He didn't pay any money, but NBC... paid $12 million or $12,000? I don't know, whatever it cost. He took it over and ran it, put his name on it, and they ran it, and they're still doing great with it.
Well, I thought the two you know, I know the Miss Universe and Miss America, but the two pageants that I enjoyed the most was your pageant and the Hooters pageant. I went,
yeah, because, Hooters does a really good pageant.
Because those two pageants, you said, now those are the kind of girls we see. Those are the real life girls.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words,
Hooters are a good group of people. They started about the same time we did with the pageants.
And so, was there any collaboration there or anything? Or did y'all do any collaboration on any level or anything?
No, not at all.
So y'all were
just friends.
Oh, okay. So it was a good relationship, I'm sure, because you drew a lot of girls from Hooters. Obviously, I got one sitting right next here to me.
Well, we had a lot of crossover between the two. Mm-hmm. And we sent a lot of girls to Playboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hundreds of girls to Playboy.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Sarah, yeah. How did you do? Sarah, you didn't do anything for Playboy, did you?
I did not.
Oh, you know what, though? No, I asked Sarah, you know, and I've continued to ask Sarah. She's getting closer.
Maybe you just haven't learned how to beg properly. Okay, well, let's take another little break. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Ron Rice, Rick Moore, and Sarah Brown. Okay, we're back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Ron Rice, Sarah Brown, and Rick Moore. Ron, one of the things we were talking about when we were off the air there for just a second, we were talking about, I know a lot of guys that have a lot of money, and they would pay through the nose, but obviously money doesn't get it when it comes to being a judge. And Rick, you'd made a comment about that also, about behavior. Ron, tell everybody a little bit about, how did you select the judges, or how did that come about?
Yeah, we money didn't mean anything. It made no difference to us whatsoever. We chose about 30 judges at the most at any one given big pageant. We're talking about the U.S. finals or the international finals. And by choosing that many, by having that many judges, you really get the best girls to win, I think, because it's no one judge can control the pageant or make any difference in reality. So you get the overall best girls, you might say. That's the way I looked at it anyhow. And we had a lot of very interesting judges. I mean, going back through the time, and we had entertainers too. You know, we start with our TV show. We had really, really great Glenn Campbell one time, and golly, Kathy Lee Crosby. We had the group called America. I can't remember them all. There were so many of them. Lorenzo Lamas came.
I remember.
We had an MC, and then we had a singing group. Aaron Carter performed one time. It was a really good show and a well done show.
I remember I ran into Lorenzo Lamas in the elevator, and I had my judges thing on and my Playboy T-shirt, and he looked at me. He's like, "Really? Both of those? Come on."
Yeah, but you should have said, "But I'm not you." Well, let me ask Sarah a question here. Sarah, now, you as a contestant, you're at these events, and obviously you did more than one show. What was your interaction like with the judges from a professional standpoint? How did you perceive all of that and their behavior?
Actually, you know what? I was quite intimidated. I think I went to one event. A lot of times there's like after parties, after like all day of, you know, doing fun sporting events. All the girls get together and we do like pool thing, like pool events, and everybody from the hotel can kind of watch, and it's like a freak show. It's so funny. But like at night, all the judges would, you know, meet in one like bar area, and all the girls were able to go there and like mingle with the judges, because I feel like that's kind of how they get to know us, is like by us going out and partying with them and just showing them our, you know, just who we are as a person. But I think that can also be a negative thing too. So I just stayed in my room and I didn't do anything, because I figured, you know what, those girls are probably going to drink and they're probably going to say something stupid or, you know, put themselves in a bad situation. So I just literally stayed in my room until like the last night. And then when I won, I was like, you know what, it's because I didn't say anything dumb.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point. I'm sure at these events, there was probably a girl that probably made an ass out of themselves.
Oh, totally.
Or probably didn't have any boundaries. Probably a distant relative of mine, actually. And that would go up and say and do anything and act anyway and just go over the top, out of their way to try to win votes and stuff like that. Rick, did you and Ron, did y'all see any behavior like that? Because I know these girls would say, "Oh, there she goes. Oh, God, watch this. Oh, hell, here it comes." Rick, did you see any activity like that?
I did the same thing that Sarah did. I just locked myself in the room every night at 10 o'clock, and I didn't go out at all. I didn't see a thing.
Now, folks, this is not far from the truth, because Rick is the most conservative and worried about, like, well, I don't want to set the wrong impression. I don't want people to think I'm a dog. Me, I'm a dog. Woof, woof, wag, wag.
You know, it's funny that you call Rick a worrywart. I think, Ron, wasn't that your nickname for me when we were traveling around?
For Rick?
Yeah, no, Ron, that was your nickname for me when we would travel. You're like, Sarah, quit being a worrywart.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, so I think Rick and I are a lot alike. But then also, too, on a second note, you know, Hawaiian Tropic was such a legacy that I feel like, because I was a little bit older experiencing the pageant, and I felt like the judges wanted someone to represent Hawaiian Tropic as an adult and not like as a party animal. So that's kind of why I did the way I did and just was more adult-like about it. And, you know, I would go out and, you know, have a drink, but I was smart about it. And some of the girls, you know, they're younger, like your friend that she was doing it at 18. I feel like you can go a little wild and you're getting all this attention and it's a lot to soak in at such a young age.
Yeah, they'd be looking at a judge. That's mine. I saw him first.
Right?
Well, Ron, did you get caught up in any of that? I mean, as far as the war of the words or anything
not
like
so.
That?
Well, I went to bed at 10 o'clock just like all the others.
I think I'm the only honest guy on the microphone right now.
Yeah, I think I just passed Ron in the hall a couple of times. Just, you know, we were getting ice, you know, for our ice water in our rooms at 10 o'clock.
See, the buck stops here. I have to do all the final decisions and everything. So it was tough.
So it was work. Well, I know you had a lot of fun, Ron. But, you know, that does bring up an interesting point from the work aspect. Was it like from sun up to sundown or from, you know, bedtime to bedtime as far as your work and your obligations, as far as all the things that you had to oversee?
Well, I had a lot of people there managing every part of the pageant. So it was just like I had my room where I could see the pool from up above. We're talking Turtle Bay now, where I could see the pool. Usually everywhere we were, we could see the pool and check on everything that was going on. I had probably two telephones and two walkie-talkies and
a
cell phone or two. And I had two or three assistants that were that run messages and do things. So we were on top of everything. We could hear everything that was going on through the walkie-talkies and all the problems that were happening. There was a lot of problems.
Well, you know, I just dawned on me.
Nobody knew it.
You might be the real-life most interesting man in the world.
I mean, I like that guy on that commercial.
Yeah, yeah,
because I think of his image. You know, I've never met you yet, but I think of his image and I think of some of the stories you're talking about and what you created and everything else. And you would have to be a guy like that to pull something like this off.
Well, it just worked, you know.
You know, and being able to control it.
I do have to tell you one interesting story that happened at the Cannes Film Festival. The best girls that I chose to be our top models. And they didn't necessarily have to be the winners, but the winner always was able to would come no matter what. The winner always had a spot on the modeling team, you might say. But we were in Cannes at the Cannes Film Festival one year, and my good friend out of Hawaii, Shep Gordon, who's a music guy, invited us. I had probably 13 girls there, just some of the best looking women in the world, and he invited us to come to a party with Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone. They were promoting that movie that they did back in the day. I can't remember the name of the movie, but you probably know what it is. And they had a dinner at the Mujan Mulan. That was the only 5-star restaurant in all of Cannes, and it's set back about 14 kilometers back into the hills. And we were invited to come there at a certain time and just go on into the party. That way they'd already be finished with their dinner, and we were just coming in for drinks. Well, when we got there, right on time, we walked in, and they hadn't even started eating yet. And we didn't know that. We walked in, 13 girls ahead of me, and I'm in the back. And they go all the way down through the center aisle. There's tables on left and right. There's six tables of 16 people, big round tables. And it goes way long room all the way to the wall. And when the girls get to the wall, they just turn around and they push me out. Back we go. Go outside. And we get outside, and all of a sudden I feel a strong hand on my shoulder, just grabbing me on the shoulder. And I looked around. It's Michael Douglas.
Oh, really?
And he said, "That was the greatest entrance I've ever seen. Now turn those girls around and get them all back in there because you're gonna enjoy the night with us."
Oh, well, that's fantastic. So I guess you segue into a lot of celebrity introductions and rubbed elbows with a lot of different people. Who was one of the more interesting people that you can recall meeting through the Hawaiian tropics?
I guess probably somebody like Jacques Cousteau. I mean, Michael Douglas is a great friend to this day, and he's a very, very smart guy. And his father, we actually worked on a movie with his father, with Kirk Douglas. And people like that. I mean, there's so many. You know, we Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, used to come on his own expense. He'd fly his own private plane, come to Hawaii or come to Vegas, wherever we held the pageants, and he was always one of our top judges.
And he was super nice.
Oh, very nice. Very nice guy. Yeah.
You know, I just
so many.
I just realized that, Ron, you got to be the most ultimate wingman, world-class, world champion in history. I mean, because knowing you, there's going to be so many, many, many women that are going to be around you because of your contest and your business and everything else. Who wouldn't want to be your friend?
Wait, Ron, well, did I tell you I'm single again?
Well, if I still have the pageant going on, it might make a difference. You know? Another great example is Hugh Hefner. You know, what a great man he is. And he's just proved them all wrong. I mean, everybody came out and poo-pooed on him, and he just proved them all wrong. He's a real, real gentleman.
Yeah, that I stayed up the other night watching that documentary. And what's interesting is, you know, he had the professional life with the magazine, but behind the scenes, I never realized he was such an activist. I mean, I knew he was an activist, and I had met that comedian Dick Gregory before, a long time ago when I was in college, but I never realized how continuous his support was of civil rights and just rights in general. Like, wow, that's a side of him that I didn't really know the full extent of.
Well, I have a business question for you, Ron. You know, a lot of people, they want to contribute things to luck and right place, right time and things like that. What would you say are a couple of your attributes that gave you a leg up or made you successful, you know, as far as Hawaiian Tropics goes, and then later the contest?
Wait, I know
what.
Well, he's smart.
I can address that very thing. I know that back in the real early days, when I very first started, all the flower children were running around, you know, in Haight-Ashbury and San Francisco. I mean, even my sister was out there in San Francisco with all the hippies, and I was busy working. I mean, I had no desire to do anything. I didn't even know Woodstock was going on. And I just put my head to the stone and just worked. And I can remember when the space shuttle went up in 69, when they went to the moon, when Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong and the group went to the moon, I was riding down the beach delivering the first bottle of Hawaiian Tropic on July 16, 1969. And 4 days later, they landed on the moon. Well, I didn't even know that was happening. That's how busy I was with the products. I had to stay on right on it all the time. And I know later years, I became really good friends with Buzz Aldrin, and we made jokes about the fact that he said, "Oh yeah, I was sitting up here in that nose cone. I looked up the beach and saw you coming down the beach delivering your bottles." And I said, "Well, Buzz, one thing you don't know is the day before you took off, I sent a big drum of sunscreen gel down to rub on the nose cone of your missile, so you'd slip through the stratosphere a little easier."
That's good.
We made jokes about that.
What do you contribute some of that discipline and focus? You said you were a football coach, so were you involved in athletics as a kid and high school?
Oh yeah, yeah. I played football all my life, and then I coached 9 years in around the Daytona area, and 1 year in Miami. And that was my whole thing. I only made $300 coaching, $4,000 teaching. It was very, very low money, but I just loved the sport and loved everything about it, you know, but there's no money.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you had a passion for it. And passion is the key to be successful. In other words, like everybody says, well, you know, you did this because you wanted to be rich. I have found out that everybody that I know that has made it, very, very few ever say, well, it was just the money. It's because they had that certain attribute of passion involved in their character and personality.
That's true. When I saw it was going to succeed, I wanted it to succeed, and I put the same energy that I put into the football teams into the company. And I think that's one big reason. My biggest problem was delegating authority, giving other people authority.
Well, you know, I can relate to that. That is true. In other words, there's a trust issue. Were you one of these people that, I'm sort of this way, that can do anything? In other words, like, well, you know, people would say, Jeff, you think you can do anything? And I said, well, I can. And yeah. Were you one of these people also that could say, well, I'll do that, or I'll figure out how to do that, or I'm going to learn how to do
it? Well, I knew the way I wanted it to be done, and I had a hard time delegating authority to other people to have them do that. You know, and sometimes I just let them make mistakes on purpose just to prove my point. You know?
Oh, really?
That actually happened.
Well, you know, that is an interesting point. So did you ever find yourself coming back and having to sweep up a lot of messes behind people as far as their ideas or endeavors or anything? How did you handle that?
Not too much of that. No, really. But I had they had ideas, and I had better ideas, or at least I thought they were better ideas. And in some cases, I couldn't control it all. So like I said, I just let them make mistakes on purpose.
Well, I'm sure there were times also when somebody would make a suggestion and it would, like, a light bulb would go off and you go, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, you know, people coming up with interesting, that's, you know, Rick, like when we do these shows together, I have a certain personality and Rick has a certain personality. I wouldn't want Rick to be like me at all, because it's kind of like Laurel and Hardy, or, you know, two different types of characters and personalities can work together well. And so that's why we've done so many shows. Well, what is your next adventure besides living the life of the most interesting man in the world?
Well, I think a lot of it's already happened, but you never know what's going to come up. You know, I've got my daughter who's a champion rodeo star out in Oregon, and she rides from Texas up to the Canadian border with her mother. They're both rodeo stars, and my ex-wife, actually. And it's just a very interesting thing. I raised her for 11 years to be a boy, and then I let her mother take her and raise her for the next 11 years to learn how to be a girl. And she was a toughie. She became an incredible snow skier. We skied with people like Billy Kidd and Franz Klammer, Franz Weber, Buddy Lazera, people like that. And every time she'd come back with one of those guys, I mean, these are all top world skiers, and she'd come back and be just a little bit better and a little bit better. And I couldn't believe it, really. It was just little tricks they taught her.
So she got a little bit of that athletic gene from you, I guess.
Well, maybe. And then she started singing, and the Chinese government hired her to come to China and perform with her little troupe in four concerts in China. They're kind of deprived for entertainment over there, but it's they're very controlling over what they do. So, but we did that, and it was just different things like that. She acted in 43 movies or television shows.
What kind of singing does she do?
Well, you say singing or acting?
No, singing. In other words, does she do country? Does she do, what's her, classical or jazz?
No, she did just various things. You know, wasn't any particular genre on that whatsoever. She just sang whatever she wanted to, and she sang at the pageants, and she acted in, like, she was on Baywatch three times. She did Jane Seymour's Dr. Quinn one time. She did Mortal Kombat. Golly, what all else? She did Boat Trip with Cuba Gooding Jr. She did the one with John Travolta, the motorcycle movie. Wild Hogs.
Yeah, Wild Hogs. Well, you know, I know one of the stunt girls that was in Mortal Kombat, Dana He. She was the international world champion or Olympic winner in the Taekwondo Olympics. I mean, the Olympics. Dana He, she was did a lot of the stunt work in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, she was in Mortal Kombat. I'm trying to remember the guy's name that owned that show. He lived in L.A., and he was real poor. Somebody had told him if for a small amount of money he could buy the rights to a bunch of stupid turtles that are trapped underground.
Oh, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And for $500 he got the rights
to
that whole thing.
Well, that is awesome.
He was calling me asking me to write stories for comic books because he was making a fortune.
Oh, really?
I forgot his name right now. Got a mind blank.
He must have been a martial artist, because when you said broke, those two things go together, martial arts and being broke in a big way. I've been in martial arts now for 41 years. I've been fortunate to make a living at it, but I've always been very intrigued by the people that are associated with martial arts and been able to do just about anything they want. They know how to pragmatically break down stuff and put things together.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I tell you what, Ron, I really appreciate you being on the show. I've had a great time with you. I know this is going to be a home run. And I appreciate Rick, you as always. Rick and I have been doing stuff together now for several shows. And Sarah, I hope you come back and do something with us again soon.
And Sarah, what's the name of you,
Oh, Sarah, if anybody wants to get a hold of Sarah, we got to plug her right quick.
Oh, you're so funny. Yeah, I work at the Premier Atelier Salon in Dallas, and we are the official sponsors of the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, so I'm able to travel with them to do their photo shoots in Cancun or wherever they have it every year, so it's a good experience. So if you guys want to come get your hair done, come find us.
Sarah does my hair.
I do. He's got great hair.
This is in the Dallas area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay.
Well, tell Mana that we said we appreciate her being on our show and everything else and her contribution.
Okay.
We're going to get and wrap this up. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me, and it's been a great show with Ron Rice, Sarah Brown, and Rick Moore.
Sultans.